trust can be shattered. Most people don't get through life without having to deal with a broken trust. Very few Christians I know that have not had a situation where a trust was broken, especially in a relationship. They're not easy to get over. In fact, you can hold on to them for 30 years and not trust others. But our problem is this, and this is what we're going to talk about tonight. Many people are trying to find hope today. But see, if they've not dealt with their trust issue, it's going to be hard to find hope because they go together.
Yeah.
So I want to talk about hope for this season. I want to talk about Hezekiah and the king of Assyria. Now what's happening here is the king of Assyria has sent one of his generals, Rabshakeh, to Hezekiah to basically intimidate him that the king of Assyria is going to kill all of them. And he kind of goes with a little mocking in his voice about Hezekiah's trust in God. You know, let me tell you, one of the major attacks of the enemy is to get you to where we do not trust God like we used to. And there is a lot of painful things that can come our way to shake that trust in God. Look at this, Isaiah 36:4. And Rabshakeh said unto them, and he's the general, say ye now to Hezekiah, thus saith the great king, the king of Assyria, what confidence, that word is hope in the Hebrew, is this wherein you trust? Heavenly Father, help us tonight to see the marriage of trust and hope together. In Jesus' name, and everyone said,
amen.
He said, what confidence do you have? Where are you trusting? Now, it's really interesting, and I'm going to read the scripture in a moment. But the reason the king of Assyria sent this general to say that is this. He knew that Hezekiah trusted God. He knew that his hope was in God. But what happened was, the king of Assyria heard that Hezekiah went to the high places where the people of Israel were worshiping the brazen serpent. And so Hezekiah went, took the serpent, ground it in powder, and made the people eat it, drink it. So what happened was, the king of Assyria says, well, what trust do you have in God? You went and removed the place where people were worshiping. How deceived was this king? Because he didn't realize that Hezekiah moved the place of worship to another place. So let's just look at this. And then it goes on, do you think that mere words are strategy and power for war? In whom do you now trust that you have rebelled against? Behold, you are trusting in Egypt, that broken reed of a staff, which will pierce the hand of any man who leans on it. Egypt is a type of a world. Such as Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to all who trust in him. But if you say to me, we trust in the Lord our God, is it not he whose high places and altars Hezekiah has removed, saying to Judah and to Jerusalem, you shall worship before this altar? This king is mixed up. He really believed that Hezekiah stopped the worship for Israel. And so he said, hey, we're coming against you because we know you don't trust in God anymore. And God's not with you, and we're going to come and destroy you. Interesting, huh? Now let's just talk about Hezekiah. 2 Kings 18:1, now it came to pass in the third year of Hosea, son of Eli, king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. 25 years old was he when he began to reign, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was also Abi, the daughter of Zechariah, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father did. He removed the high places and broke the images and cut down the groves and break in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. For unto those days the children of Israel did burn incense to it, and he called it Nehushtan. He trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. Now this is powerful stuff here about trust. Because see, trust just doesn't show up for the believer. He had to make sure, number one, his worship and the people's worship was pure.
Right.
That they were not worshiping something that had happened in the past. You know, it's very easy to worship things in our own spiritual life that happened 20 years ago, rather than have a fresh worship for God today. You see, at one time when Moses raised the serpent up, God used it. Now, how do you know sometimes we can get stuck in how God did it yesterday or 20 years ago and not believing him for the present thing, the new thing?
Right.
And so the first thing he did is he removed the high places, but he trusted in God. You can't have hope without trust. Our trust is in you, Lord. Our hope is in you, Lord. Amen. What is trust? Well, let's start with the T. In order to have hope, I must have a firm foundation of trusting God in everything. First of all, trust is total abandonment. When I trust God, I take everything else that I can lean on and put it on Him. I abandon myself to Him. I look to Him totally. Trust is also total transparency. I come into a relationship with God where I'm not going to cover things up. I'm not going to be one thing one day and one thing the other. I'm going to be transparent before God. He already knows everything anyway. So David said, he said, you know my thoughts are for. And if I'm going to have trust, I must have a total embracing of who Jesus is, what His purpose is on this earth, why He came. I must have an abandonment. I must have a transparency. And I must be embracing. Now, we can just look at those and just go to the next. But I want to tell you, it takes work for those three things. But those are the very elements that cause the foundation for me to trust. If I've not abandoned everything, if I'm not transparent, and I'm not embracing the Lord like I should, it's going to be hard for me to trust. You know, when Debbie and I got married, we loved each other, but not to the depth and mature love that we have today. You know, when we got married, we loved each other, but there were things I needed to abandon. There were areas I need to be transparent in, vulnerable, for the relationship to work. So don't ever think when you're in your prayer time and you're just being transparent before God that that's not building trust. Because trust cannot be built on any type of walls or any type of smoke and mirrors. Trust is abandonment, transparency, embracing. The word R, letter R. If we're to trust, we must return to childlike faith. Not childishness, but childlike faith. The moment the child is born, there is an inward manifestation of trust God put in the baby for its mother. The baby begins to trust its mother, begins to trust her when he cries. See, a childlike faith is what Jesus said. Unless you become as little children, you can't see the kingdom of God. Or, we need to return to God's thoughts. He said, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Why are we trusting in our thoughts? half of our thoughts, we don't even think about it. He said to Hezekiah, "You don't trust God. You tore it down. You changed some things. How about this? Return to a pure heart." Oh, there's many believers tonight that their heart was pure. Something happened. Offense. Forgiveness. Oh, we can go through the motions, but created me a clean heart, David. That works well. Just us and God. God created me a pure heart. Return to childlike faith, return to God's thoughts, and return to a pure heart. Builds trust. You understand God's ultimate intention for you. God's intention for you is what? How many know God's ultimate intention? Yeah, that's a different trend. That's a different spelling of that. It's called the Bilski. It's a new type of thing that's come out. The I intention, you know, it's kind of a new thing. I know y'all don't get the software. But anyway, what's God's ultimate intention for you and I? Let me tell you what it is. To be with us. Period. Not to make us famous, rich. God's ultimate intention for you and I is simply for us to be with Him forever. That's His ultimate intention. It's not just to make us perfect or make us mature or use our spiritual giftings. His ultimate intention is simply to be with us. When we were courting, you know, we would drop her off, and I noticed that it just got harder to say goodbye. I tried to leave, but she wouldn't let me. No, no, don't go. You know, you live in here 3 hours. Okay, then I'll give you another three. I noticed it got harder. Why does it get harder? Because love is so powerful. Wanting to be with somebody you love is so powerful. So finally, forget it. Let's just get married. I moved the wedding day now. Hello? To help her out. Goodness. Damsel in distress. I trust somebody. Don't forget this. I trust somebody that wants to be with me. Someone that doesn't want to be with me, I'm not going to trust that person. I don't care if they pull rabbits out of a hat, or I can only trust somebody that wants to be with me. And when we let Jesus be our ultimate intention, and I just want to be with you, Lord, my trust is strength. Doesn't mean you don't want to be with your other people and everything, but He's the ultimate. Because, by the way, He's the author and He's the finisher of our faith. S. When I have trust, I need to search the Scriptures for others who had to trust God in a greater way. We've had to trust God through heaven and hell and all types of things, good, bad, ugly. But I get in the Bible and find somebody who had to trust God in a capacity that if I did, I don't know what to do. I mean, I've never led an army and come back and the city I was in is burned and the wives and the children taken and the men are talking about stoning. I've never had that, but David did. Can you imagine being in that situation? That's not some Sunday school Bible story. He was a man, a real man, loved God. He's in the situation. Now, if he ever needed trust and hope, it was then. But see, he developed that trust out on that hillside, writing psalms to God. Said, "God, I love you. You're going to take care of my enemies. You're everything to me." God gave him revelation about the cross. about Jesus in Psalm 22 that other people had. The only other one was Isaiah had just as many, just revelation. So when he faced that, and he probably realized, I made a stupid mistake. You know, one of the hardest times to believe, to trust. It's not when others have attacked you, it's when you've made a mistake. You wish to God you could go back to yesterday and fix it. It's when you fail. Relationship, you fail financially, you fail, but you got to keep moving on.
Amen.
Search the scriptures for others who had to trust God in a greater way. See, turn from trusting in other things other than God. Those that trust in the riches shall fall, the Bible says. Don't trust in man. Trust not in uncertain riches. It says uncertain riches. It says in Proverbs 3:6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. That's what every mention of heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In other words, you don't know it all. I don't know it all. I don't know all about God. I don't know all the time what God's doing. I don't know every second what he's doing. But guess what? I don't lean to my conclusions. And sometimes we lean to conclusions about God and spiritual things, which we ought not because we've not searched the scriptures to get his thoughts in that matter. It's called presumption. Turn from trusting in other things other than God. We can trust in our personality. We can trust in our ability. We can trust, my intelligence. We can trust in our physical physique. We can trust, I was in the top 1% in my college. I'm trusting in that. Turn from trusting in other things. You know what the biggest thing is? We can't trust in ourselves. Either trust in his own heart, Bible says. Paul said, I don't even trust him. I don't know. I don't even judge him because God's the judge. He's got to help me with this thing. See, if I trust in myself, then what I'm doing is I'm making conclusions about my own spirituality. But the problem with that is you can undercut yourself, but you can overcut yourself. Like I've arrived at the spirituality. I don't need to come to church. I don't need to get, I can come to a wrong conclusion because I'm trusting in my own judgment. All I know is the Bible tells us we need to be more dependent on God. That to come to a conclusion like I've got this great aspect of God. No, we probably have a molecule out of infinite knowledge of who God is. I mean, the angels. You know why they cry holy every they cry holy and they bow down and they go back up and cry holy. Do you know why they keep doing that? Because they get a revelation of how great God is. They come down and when they go back up, they get another revelation of it. See, if that's not true, then God can't be infinite. He cannot be infinite. He cannot be all knowledge. If there came a place where the angels, after bowing for a million years, have a million revelation, if they came to a place where they had no more, he couldn't be God. We can't even fathom. But we're talking about the one that said, let there be light, and light came. We're talking about the one had a determinate counsel before the world to have a lamb. We're talking about the one that has every hair number. We're talking about the one that knew you before you were born. So we can't come to this big conclusion that I'm this big spiritual giant. God's not looking for spiritual giants, although we need to grow. He's looking for a man after his heart. David would have never gone to the throne. He would have never killed a giant if he had trust issues. And when his brother attacked him in the battlefield, He said, what are you talking about, man? I'm trusting in God. God's directed my steps up here. And guess what? He's going to use me. Not because I'm anything. Because you know what? Eliab and Jesse, my father, all of you didn't think nothing of me. You left me on the mount. So, you know what? I pass. I love you. I forgive you. But guess what? My trust isn't in you bringing me up from the feast. My trust is in the living God that I serve every night, that I praise every night, that I go through hell because he's with me. Give him a real hand. You can lose your mind trusting in the wrong thing. Your anchor of hope can break away from the ship of your life and lead you to despair and hopelessness and depression and questioning your salvation. Many will turn away at the last days from the faith, the Bible says. Giving heed, trusting in seducing spirits and doctrines of devils from such turn away. Pray for them, but I don't hang around. I love everybody, but I don't trust everybody. You love everybody, but you don't trust everybody. I want to. I have broken trust in the ministry. Are you kidding? Churches, leaders, different things. Call me. Taking people up to their leaders up to their house, not telling me. But I've learned this. This is God's work. It's not mine. And if you don't think God is watching over his work, you can study your Bible. Amen. So I've learned to trust God like you. In things I don't understand, because I need hope. How about you? So as we start to close, what does that mean? I don't know. We start to close. Like starting a lawnmower and starting it. Sometimes it goes, sometimes it just. People all around you need hope. And you know, I can listen to somebody for 5 minutes. And I know if they're really trusting. And it's sad. Sometimes you kind of hear that. Because the Bible says we all go through the same sufferings. Different times. We all have to deal with disappointments and hurts. So I want to ask you tonight. When a trust was broken in your life and shattered, and the pieces of the mirror fell out, and it was years ago, but every morning you get up and you look at yourself in the mirror, and you don't know who you are because your mirror is still shattered. So you only see little glimpses of who you are. But this has gone on a lot of years. God wants us to see us, see ourselves as he sees us. God wants us to see ourselves in a new mirror. You got to let that mirror go. Maybe it was your fault. Maybe it wasn't your fault. Hey, let it go. Let that broken trust go. Don't talk about it. Quit bringing it up. You don't need a counselor after 30 years for that thing. What you need is like Hezekiah. He did right. He did right in the sight of the Lord. We need to ask ourselves, am I doing right? The Bible says, find out what's pleasing to the Lord. Because everything we do and everything we say is not pleasing. Don't we all miss it? What's the point of going to bed at night, looking up the ceiling, and I never ask myself, God, was that, I know that didn't please you, how ugly and how what I said and what I did, I know it's
course not. God says, that's
what I'm looking for. I know you're not perfect. I'm looking for someone who's transparent. See,
we think, oh God, I want to trust you. And God says, yeah, but I want to trust you. And we forget. You know, people's gifts, promotions, and anointings all can be put on a shelf if God finds a Nehushtan in our life. That we worship something more than the living God. We love something more than God, like myself or whatever. God, I'll put me on the shelf until I realize He does not promote anything that's not like Him. Shout victory, sing victory, chains are falling. Praise God for all of us. God wants a new hope for you. I have hope for this church. I trust in God to restore this church. I have hope for Petersburg. I'm trusting God for the souls the devil's taken captive at His will. I'm hoping for God to raise up pastors, prophets, teachers, people who can make a difference. I believe in God for laborers, God for people to come and do the work of God. I'm trusting God. It's His work. It's His anointing. It's His power. And it's His season. Take that mirror off your wall and throw it away. Quit talking about what happened 30 years ago. Don't bring it up. We know you were hurt. So was I. We know you were disappointed. So was I. You know, we know people were disloyal. I know. I've been there. I can write a book on it. But I refuse to let that hinder my trust in you. To live above with saints I love, that will be glory. To live below with some saints I know, that's another story. The reality of life is this. People can bug you. People can disappoint you. And if it causes my trust and hope in people to bring me into a spiritual withdrawing from people, I must get before the cross. It's God. I don't want people like you to. I need you to change me. Because you don't like ugly. And I'm going to a place where there's billions of people. And God will give me a little island, a little hut, and I just go there. Many times, because of the broken mirror of trust, we don't ever really enter into the right relationships with our brother. Avoidance is simply a reaction from a mistrust or a broken hope in a relationship. We'll never have another opportunity like this. Three things you never get back: the spoken word, the missed arrow, and the missed opportunity. I'm not waiting 10 more years for God to move. I want to be in the position He can move now. I'm not waiting 10 more years to be like Christ. I could be dead by then. But it's now. And see, if you take that as I close, now and faith go together. Now faith is the substance.
promise of things hoped for. Put away fear. See, I didn't have this in my notes. This is the Holy Spirit talking to somebody. You still don't see yourself like Jesus wants you to. And avoiding people and stuff is a simple thing. Shyness is, it's all right when you're a young teenager. I get older, I gotta ask God for some love to get me out of that. I say hello to everybody. Not everybody says hello to me. They won't feed me. I try to find my heart in somebody. If God looks at the heart, I must do. If I look at people's performance, it's not perfect, and it'll never be perfect. But see, if I look at someone else's performance and imperfections, I better be looking at mine even greater, amen, lest I become a Pharisee. Mm. Who am I talking to? Am I talking to on Facebook? Can't trust people because you don't trust them. I understand. Get back with God. Let him heal that. But you don't want to go to your grave having missed precious relationships. But can I help us grow? I can't imagine if I wasn't married to him. I could be a cantankerous, self-centered. Everything is about me. She was in the hospital on that bed for 3 days, strapped all these things, trying to get her heart rate down to 179. Doctors running in and out. I said, my God, do we really know how fragile and delicate we are? Change. Dealing with reality sometimes is very difficult. Death of a loved one, hell is. That's why we need each other. So I must develop a healthy trust. But we know there's boundaries. There's got to be a healthy trust in a congregation. People can sense when they come into a church if that's there or it's not. Paul said that members ought to know how to care one for another. People want to be part of a family. We don't always agree. We might rub each other, but we love each other. And we embrace our differences. We strengthen each other's weakness. The last time I looked, ain't nobody arrived yet. I'm going to have hope. I got trust. So as David is writing Psalm 18 on the hillside, oh, I love you. You're my strength, you're my song. With tears coming down his eyes, having heard Samuel, the greatest prophet in the Old Testament, was going to his very house, and he wasn't invited. Overlooked and mislabeled. Didn't get bitter. Lord, I trust you. Not only that, Lord, I love you. I've got you. I don't need anything. There comes a messenger. David. Yeah. Father wants you. They're having some feast.
loved God and his work so much. He said, it'll be a few minutes. I need to go over here and get someone to keep the sheep. Well, you know God cares for sheep. He goes up there. More desiring to fulfill what he put in you than you are. But it's his way or no. Trust in hope. Very crucial for you and I. Get rid of the mirror. Stop talking about it. Instead of coming to God all the time and telling him what he already knows, praying for everybody's soul, just come and say, Lord, I just want to be with you. Just want to spend time. Just love you. I don't want nothing. I just love you. Look into his eyes. Look into your wife's eyes and say, I love you. Look into his face and see his smile upon you. Put your ear towards his heart and hear his heart beating for a dying world, for the prodigal. See the tear coming down his face as he weeps for the Lord. Yet he's the King of Glory. Lord of Glory. But I want to go to a new trust, which gives you a new hope. That your ship of your life won't end.
How do you want God to take you to another anointing?